This morning, we continue God's story of his people in the Old Testament. The text for this morning's scripture reading is from 1 Kings chapter 21. And our reader this morning will be Thaddeus Soh. Thaddeus.
Now Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard in Jezreel, beside the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And after this, Ahab said to Naboth, "Give me your vineyard, that I may have it for a vegetable garden, because it is near my house, and I will give you a better vineyard for it. Or, if it seems too good to you, I will give you its value in money." But Naboth said to Ahab, "The Lord forbid that I should give you the inheritance of my fathers." And Ahab went into his house vexed and sullen because of what Naboth the Jezreelite had said to him. For he had said, "I will not give you the inheritance of my fathers." And he lay down on his bed and turned away his face and would not eat no food. But Jezebel his wife came to him and said to him, "Why is your spirit so vexed that you eat no food?" And he said to her, "Because I spoke to Naboth the Jezreelite and said to him, 'Give me your vineyard for money, or else if it please you, I will give you another vineyard for it.' And he answered, 'I will not give you my vineyard.' Jezebel, his wife, said to him, 'Do you now govern Israel? Arise and eat bread and let your heart be cheerful. I will give you the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite.' And she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal. And she sent letters to the elders and the leaders and who lived with Naboth in his city. And she wrote in the letters, 'Proclaim a fast and set Naboth at the head of the people.' And set two worthless men opposite him, and let them bring a charge against him, saying, 'You have cursed God and the king, and take him out and stone him to death.' And the men of his cities, the elders and the leaders who had lived in the city, did as Jezebel had sent word to them. And as it was written in the letters that she had sent to them, they proclaimed the fast and set Naboth at the head of the table, people. And the two worthless men came in, sat opposite him, and the two worthless men brought charge against Naboth in the presence of the people, saying, 'Naboth cursed God and the king.' So they took him outside the city and stoned him to death with stones. And they sent Jezebel, saying, 'Naboth has been stoned, he is dead.' As soon as Jezebel heard that Naboth had been stoned and was dead, Jezebel said to Ahab, 'Arise and take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give you for money, for Naboth is not alive but dead.' And as soon as Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, Ahab arose to go down to the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite to take possession of it."
Amen. The sermon is a time when we listen to God speaking to us. And this morning, God speak to us through the children's sermon by Pastor Joseph and through Pastor Lawrence. His message is entitled, "You Shall Not Covet."
Mic test. Hi, so can I invite the children to come forward? And if you're a bit shy, you call your parents to follow you, okay? So the children can gather here, and then we have a very short children's message. Hi, good morning. Okay, I promise children I have gifts to give you and to entice you. Hi, good morning. Hi, everyone. You can sit here if you're... Yeah, you can sit wherever you're comfortable, okay? Okay, you want to share your name? What's your name?
Angelo.
Angelo. Regina, hi. So, I'm going to give you something, okay? Sorry? Angelo. Thanks, Angelo. Okay, I'm going to give you a very yummy treat. Can you show everybody what treat is this? Have you seen this before? Yes? Have you eaten this before? Hi. Okay. And then you want to introduce, what's your name?
Hannah.
What? You want to see your name again? No. Okay, I'm going to give you one gift or so. Then you show everybody what you get, okay? Okay, what is this? You show everybody. How many is inside? So Angelo, how many can you stand up and show everybody how many snacks you have inside? You can stand up and show all the adults. How many snacks you have in your bag? You have a lot. So Angelo, do you want to take your friend's snack? She only has one snack. Do you want to take from her? Or do you don't want to, or you want to keep your snack? Or you want to take one more from her? I think you want to keep your snack, right? You won't steal other people's snack, right? So that's very good. Because today, if you see today's message, right, there's this King Ahab. He's a very strong king in Israel. And then he had all so many things in his kingdom. But then he saw somebody else had this vineyard and he wanted to take it away. But then when he couldn't take it, like one small little piece he wanted to take away, he got the person to be murdered and killed. The wife told him, you can wrongly accuse this person and then he will kill him and you take his things. And then God found out, and it's not good, because God teaches us that we must be contented with what he's given to us. So I tell you a little secret, okay? Even the adults, the parents, uncle, aunties, they also struggle with this, to be contented, okay? Later, next time you know. So today, if you can remember anything, you remember that Jesus has blessed you with so many things. Just like all these things you have. But then we shouldn't be so envious to get other things, other people's things, okay? So thank you for taking part in this. I won't leave you with just one, okay? I'll give you more. So not, you don't need that only one. Okay, and for the children, there's also outside, there's a bulletin if you want to fill up. If anyone can fill up and take picture for me, I got a prize for you, okay? So everybody, can we put our hands together and let's pray together? Come, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for blessing us with so many things. And God, we also pray that you help us to be contented, not to be envious, not to be also jealous, but to be contented with what you have given to us. So may you bless these children. May we continue to worship together for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, children. Okay, now you can go back to your parents already. Thank you. You can keep the snacks. It's for you, it's for you.
Blessed morning, everyone. It's so wonderful to see in our midst children worshiping with us. So as adults, we pray that the Lord will help us to be good examples, especially in worshiping God, so that the children in our midst will be able to imitate how to worship the Lord rightly. Now, this morning, I just want to start off with asking all of us a question. Can you remember the 10th commandment? Well, the 10th commandment is, you shall not covet. In fact, in the Westminster Confession of Faith, in the last question, question 79, say, which is the 10th commandment? And the answer is, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant or his female servant or his ox or his donkey or anything that is your servant, your neighbor's. And the word covet here means yearned. Lasting to possess something, especially something belonging to another person. You desiring something of another. That is the word covet. And followed by the question in the WCF, it says, what does the 10th commandment require of us? The 10th commandment requires full contentment with our own condition and a right and charitable attitude towards our neighbor and all that is his. So here, it teaches us that content with what we have and happy for what others have. And the last question pertaining to this commandment is, what is forbidden in the 10th commandment? The Tenth Commandment forbids all discontent with our own state, envying and grieving at the good of our neighbor, together with all ungoverned longings and desires for things that belong to him. So, my brothers and sisters, based on the instruction and the teaching of the Word of God, and in the Westminster Confession of Faith, we are to seek to please God in everything we do and to be contented. Covetousness comes from not being satisfied with what God has given us and anxiously and eagerly seeking to get more and more and more. However we can, even though we may stop short of actual theft, envy and jealousies, sinful wishes, desires, lust and motives, constant complaining. These are sins which need to confess and to ask for God's forgiveness. Do you covet? What do you covet? Do you look at your neighbor's house and desire it? Do you look at your neighbor's wife and desiring her? Or is your coveting of a different kind? Do you desire status? Do you long for the praise of others? Do you look at others and wish that you have their position, their gifts, their abilities? Whatever you covet, God wants us to repent. And He calls us to be contented. Are you content with what God has set before you to do? It may be a small place, but you may be content in a small place, being faithful in which Christ has given you to do, whatever that may be. So today's exhortation is very straightforward. Do not covet. Be contented in whatever God has given to us. Now, in our passage this morning, 1 Kings 21, we read of the great act of wickedness in Ahab and Jezebel. Especially, we are going to look at their selfishness, their covetousness that leads to this horrible weakness that they have committed. And I really pray, in the studies of this, especially these four characters, Ahab, Jezebel, Elijah, and Naboth, God will speak to our hearts and we will learn some precious lessons. If you are able, you can follow my outline. First, it is from verses 1 to 7. Lack of contentment. King Ahab lives in his palace. Next door to the palace is a man named Naboth, who apparently has a very nice vineyard. Ahab sees how nice this garden is and the convenience of having a garden next to his palace. And so he approached Naboth to purchase his vineyard. Actually, he offers a pretty good deal. Ahab will give Naboth a better vineyard or just pay him money for it, whichever Naboth like. But there is a problem here. This vineyard was part of Nabal's inheritance. And according to Leviticus law, you know, in Leviticus 25, chapter 25, they were not allowed to sell their inheritance land, even if they were impoverished. Even if in poverty, a redeemer kinsman was to come in and purchase the land, so that the land remained with the family. You can see this in the kinsman redeemer in the book of Ruth. Naboth cannot sell this vineyard. So Naboth said to Ahab, "The Lord forbid that I should give you the inheritance of my father." Naboth obeyed the law of God. He was not greedy. He was not greedy for money. Now, the sin of selfishness, covetousness, rears its ugly head. As we see in Ahab's response, he was not merely disappointed. He was vexed and sullen. Verse 4 says, Ahab went into his house vexed and sullen. He was bitter and angry. And he laid down his bed, turned his face away, and wouldn't eat. You see, Ahab acted like a child, throwing tantrum, pounds and whines. His day is completely ruined because he could not have what he wanted. As assistant to the pastor Jyoti mentioned just now, not only children know how to throw tantrum, you know, and grabbing, coveting. When they don't get what they want, you know, they will be angry. The adults too. Adults too. And this kind of behavior is an exhibition of covetousness, selfishness. Yes, they will not be happy unless you give them what they wanted. And here is Ahab. No, as king over Israel, acting like a child, throwing tantrum, angry, bitter. Now, do we sometimes act like Ahab? Are we vexed and sullen, angry and bitter when we do not get our way? When we do not get what we want, is our day ruined when we do not get what we want? Are we crushed when we cannot have what we want? I believe strongly the issue here lies in our discontentment, our selfishness. Ahab was the king of the nation. No, he can have everything. And so what if he cannot have that vineyard? He was the ruler over the people. He could build his own vineyard, buy another vineyard, move the palace to another location near his vineyard, build another vineyard, another palace. But Ahab could not see all that he had. He could not see the alternatives. He just wanted what he wanted. He just wanted this one thing and would not be happy unless he got it. Now this brings us back at the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve could eat everything, you know, but not the one that God instructed them not to. They took it. Disobey God. You see, our lack of contentment comes from our selfishness. I want, I want, I want, and would not be happy unless I get what I want. We live in the times that tells us that we should get what we want when we want it. Grab it, grab it. We must identify our desire to have things immediately as selfishness, as covetousness. And I want to challenge all of us, you know, to look at what we have and stop focusing on what we do not have. We must thank God. I always like to repeat and this phrase because it reminds me, you know, that God has blessed me with the roof over my head, the water that I drink, the food we eat, the appetites, the jobs, the families, you know, the cares. Look at what we have. Covetousness arises when we lack contentment. We always look at what we do not have. Now, secondly, I want to talk about the depravity of the hearts. And that is found in verses 8 to 18. You see, Ahab's selfishness, his covetousness, vexed and sullened, resulted in Jezebel, you know, taking matters in his own hands, in her own hands. And in the most wicked way possible, you know, as I was preparing this chapter, you know, my heart was really, really angry. Jezebel sets up Naboth to be killed, and his plan was almost perfect. What is Ahab's reaction to this? Ahab arose, go down to the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, and to take possession of it. In verse 16, Ahab did not care how he got the vineyard. He was just happy to have his piece of property. No, whatever the cost, I don't care. I just want to get what I want. Even if it means killing, lying, and scheming, conspiracy. Now, will you do whatever it takes to get what you want? Or to get your own way. Now, I suppose we would not murder to get what we want. But how far will we go? How far will we go to get what we want? Will we lie, manipulate? Will we cheat and scheme to get what we want? What will we sacrifice? What will we sacrifice? Will we sacrifice our time with our families, our loved ones, to accumulate more wealth, to be recognized, to be at the top? Are you willing to sacrifice your time for all this? I do all this for my family, to take care of my family, to give them the best. I'm doing all this for them. You see, we justify ourselves because we have to keep our job, you know. I cannot, we hear this, we have to put food on the table. Now, fair, reasonable, we should work hard. I must emphasize that we should work very hard to provide for our families, and not just our families, but others. But, if it is out of covetousness, We just want to get what we want, to satisfy our ego, you know, and we don't care who gets hurt in the process. We just want our stuff. By the way, stuff will not satisfy us. The injustice and the cruelty, hideous crime we see in this text is disgusting. I don't know about you, as I read, I get angry to read such an awful event, the abuse of power, killing of the innocents. Do you feel angry when you read about the injustice, you know, the wickedness? In this passage, Ahab and Jezebel, now, brethren, injustices, abuses, corruption, all sorts of hideous crimes happens everywhere. Look at the invasion. It happens in the company, organizations, sometimes even at home. We see abuses and all kinds of, even in the church, no exemption. You and I are susceptible to such evil if it is not by God's grace. I hope you will recognize that. You and I are not susceptible to such evil. We can be very bad people if we are not contented, if we are selfish, if we are covered, we lust for wealth, fame, and power. Listen to what God says about the depravity of the hearts. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? Total depravity. Romans 1:21. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Depravity of the hearts. So may God help us. May we resolve to guard our hearts from covetousness, evil, selfishness, and ask the Lord to create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. This is the prayer of David. And may it be our prayer, so that we may do what is right, pleasing, and acceptable to God. Thirdly, I want to talk about God's judgment and God's justice. Injustice or evil will not go unpunished. This is in verses 19 to 24. Surely there was no one like Ahab who sold himself to the devil in the sight of the Lord, because Jezebel, his wife, incited him, and he acted very abominably, vile manner. You know, previously we saw him following idols, you know, according to all that the Amorites has done, whom the Lord cast out before the sons of Israel. He did many, many evil things. But Proverbs 15, verse 3 tells us, the eyes of the Lord are in every place. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil and the good. 人在做,天在看. Now, this is some statement that some Chinese, God is watching whatever we are doing. No escape. You can escape from each other's eyes. But you cannot escape the eyes of God. God is watching the evil and the good. The Lord sees everything. The Lord sees all the injustice done to Naboth and his family by the wicked hands of Ahab and Jezebel. And so he told Elijah to go to meet the king and to deliver the following message from the living God of Israel. Verse 17, then the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, who is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, where he has gone to take possession. And you shall say to him, thus says the Lord, have you killed and also taken possession? And you shall say to him, thus says the Lord, in the place where dogs lick the blood of Naboth shall dogs lick your own blood. So this pronouncement of judgment upon Ahab. And Ahab immediately tried to put the prophet on the defensive, just as he did before. This wicked king, no, the first time was when Elijah was sent by the Lord to meet him and tell him about the contest at Mount Carmel. No, and Ahab's first word was this, is this you, you troubler of Israel? In his spiritual blindness and out of his unrepentant heart, he could still say to Elijah here, hey, have you found me, oh my enemy? Elijah was an enemy of the king because whenever Elijah showed up, the light of truth shone and he spoke the word of God, and Ahab hated the truth. Those who are living in darkness hate the truth. So, brothers and sisters, if we are going to be light of the world in this dark world so that God can shine through us, that we have to understand that with that comes the hatred of the world. We must not be surprised, you know, when we share the gospel, when we evangelize and all that, we speak the truth. We must not be surprised. And we must keep telling the truth, as Elijah did. You know, walking even into the presence of the king and tell him the truth in the power of the Holy Spirit. In fact, Jesus said to his disciples, if the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. So do not be surprised, you know, when you are sharing the gospel, when you are telling the truth. The world hates Jesus and called him their enemy because he came to tell them the truth of God and how they had fallen short of the glory of God. In every generation, if they hate the Lord, they will hate his messengers. Now, through Elijah, God announced 5 prophecies against the king and queen of Israel, Ahab and Jezebel. First, I will bring evil upon you and will utterly sweep you away. Second, I will cut off from Ahab every male, both born and free in Israel. And third, I will make your house like the house of Jeroboam and like the house of Baasha. These 2 houses in the northern tribes of Israel were cut off because of their gross idolatry and because of the provocation which they have provoked the Lord to anger. and because you have made Israel sin. So they will be destroyed. And fourthly, and of Jezebel, the dogs shall eat Jezebel in the street of Jezreel. The one belonging to Ahab who dies in the city, the dogs shall eat, and the one who dies in the field, the birds of the heaven shall eat. So these are the five prophecies of judgment pronounced against them. And then God summarized the life and the times of Ahab and Jezreel in this, verse 25 and 26. Surely there was no one like Ahab who sold himself to the devil in the sight of the Lord, because Jezebel, his wife, incited him, and he acted very abominably in following idols according to that of the Amorites had done, whom the Lord cast out before the sons of Israel. Now this was a very terrible day in the history of the northern kingdom. Terrible, wicked, and all that. There couldn't have been more sin in the sight of God, you know, and he couldn't prophesy more evil against the house of Ahab. He was the worst of the worst. And many innocent people would have to suffer because of the wickedness, the selfishness, the covetousness of one man. Of one man who wanted to have a vegetable garden. It had not looked like such a big deal to Ahab to covet Nabal's vineyard. But God was watching all the evil Ahab has been doing. And finally, Ahab tipped the skills of murdering the innocent man. Now lastly, repentance is still available in verses 25 and 29. I don't know about you, myself included, I was shocked and I was in a way not so happy. I was shocked that repentance was allowed to Ahab, the worst king in the history of the nation. Are you surprised that God noticed Ahab humbling himself before the Lord? And are you angered by God relenting from immediate judgment and offering mercy? It is easy to read about Ahab's repentance and be outraged that God would relent. No, how can God do this? How can God forgive this wicked, evil person? Look at all the evil Ahab has committed. He's killing the prophets of God. No, look at that. The torment he caused Elijah, the prophet. He has shown selfishness throughout his life. And he even allowed a man to be killed so that he could have a vineyard. How can God do this? Forgive him. I hope we can look at another side. Now, this shows to us the loving, compassionate God we worship and serve. God's great mercy is revealed here. God will accept us back if we genuinely repent, no matter what evil we have done. Even though we make a mess of our lives, you know, God will take us back if we sincerely confess to Him. God allows us to start again with Him. And we see in Ahab the truth of God's word. Draw near to me and I will draw near to you. Now, if we are surprised at how we read God treating Ahab, I hope that it will turn the other way. You know, it will be a joyful surprise and not an angry surprise. No, I hope it will be an excitement that God will take us back when we make mistakes. No, the Bible, God's word tells us, you know, in many places, Isaiah 1:18, it says, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. So true repentance will always have God's forgiveness. Unfortunately, Ahab's repentance did not last. He humbled himself before the Lord, but sometime, just a very short time, went back. He returned to his old ways. Ahab had mercy in his hand, but he threw it away. He gave the free gift of God's grace back. Wrath and judgment could have been avoided, but Ahab chose his own pleasure instead, and he returned to his old selfish way of living. And later we read, he was destroyed. Do not covet. Don't throw away the greatest gift you can ever receive from God, the gift of salvation. You can avoid the wrath and judgment that is due to you, wrath that is due to each one of us because of our sins, mistakes and failures against God. God wants to pardon us through the blood of Jesus, who died for us. But again, a reminder. A lasting repentance is required. We must devote ourselves every day to God because of his love and his compassion towards us. Surrender to God every day, and turning away from the selfish, covetous life and living the contented, godly life that God wants us to live. Our selfishness, covetousness devastates our own lives, not only that, the lives of those near us, those who care for us, those who love us, and it devastates God. So my brothers and sisters, stop living for self and start living for God. And I just want to end with this note. Godliness with contentment is great gain. So may the Lord help all of us. Amen.